Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host. I am your host with the most, the King of Kings himself. Oh, Lord. It's going to be one of those nights. I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the man that one day, maybe not tonight, maybe on the next time when we do the show, or one night, he will acknowledge me as the best of them all. His name is Sean Black. What's his name again? Oh, yeah, Sean Black.
It's Sean Black in the building once again. My God. You can tell you're still sober from our last episode, you know. Oh, but by the way, this is episode 301. So for those that actually don't know, we've done over 300 of these, and I think the last couple of episodes are the first that the Hot Rod has done completely sober. So go figure. And before I do throw it back to you, Hot Rod, I want to just get a small plug.
Boy, here we go.
Yes, we go. A small plug to Morton Law's podcast on Anchor FM, anchor.fm/Morton's. Hyphen Law. That is one of the better podcasts that are out there. Christopher Morton is doing a lot of really good things. He talks about sports, talks about wrestling, talks about his own life. Very good sense of humor. Closing in on 60 episodes, doing things well. That's on anchor.fm/Morton's-Law. So there you go.
All right. Thank you for the plug in. And ladies and gentlemen, yes, you know the number, 347-989-8402. That is 347-989-8402. Before we go to the main topic, which I know Sean Black have a lot to talk about because, trust me, it's what he does best. Okay, as Sean mentioned, we've done this show for a million times. And during the pandemic, we got through a lot. But what cracks me up and is mind-boggling to me, I want to talk about this for a few minutes, is the shortage that we get in this country. Gas, toilet paper, buffalo wings, Lysol, hand sanitizer. And it's like I'm going through a cycle of trying to fight for something in this country. We have price gouging everywhere. Sean Black, I went to the supermarket on Friday. I spent almost $400 on groceries, and the trunk of the car was not even filled compared to last year. It would take me a couple of trips, you know, in and out. But we have a serious crisis of shortage of baby formula. You would never think in a million years we'd be short of baby formula, which is a major crisis right now. I have friends, as you know, who are mothers, who are reaching out, trying to find formula to feed their kids. Mothers who cannot breastfeed their kids and would depend on formula, but there's none out there. And isn't this mind-boggling to you? And by the way, John Black is selling breast milk from his breast if you wanted to buy. He will plug in that, you know, later on the show. What?
You know what I find absolutely amazing? I don't know what is more shocking, is the fact that we actually have a shortage in formula, or the fact that the Hot Rod actually does have friends. Now, you heard it here, folks. The Hot Rod does have friends, and it's not Absolute or whatever you may not be drinking right now. But I'll hold back on that. In the country that we live in, based on the amount of resources that are afforded to everyone in this country for the most part. If you compare the United States to many other countries, usually the United States has an abundance of literally almost everything. The first time I am hearing of a formula, baby formula drought. Now, part of that is because the pharmaceutical company that makes the formula or different brands of formula, mostly Enfamil and Similac, those are the brands that's run by a pharmaceutical company named Abbott. And you've probably seen their commercial for a ton of drugs that they sponsored and have created. The fact that they had a recall some time back and one of their main plants shut down production because of this recall is one of the reasons why we're seeing a shortage in baby formula. Now, also, the fact remains that we are having supply issues. We talked about this ad nauseum since the beginning of the pandemic, as you stated, of all of the other shortages and things that have gone along. This is something that hits worldwide. And when we're talking about a nation where we have a very existential issue in supply, and especially with demand being bigger than the supply now, as we've talked about gas prices going up everywhere. When you're talking about baby formula, which is literal food for babies, for those that cannot take breast milk, or for those that are allergic because of that reason, this is huge. And this is something that they were initially talking about. Yes, they were talking about this might go into the end of the year. And we were hearing over the last couple of weeks, people are doing kind of like formula banks, where they're the people that have an excess of baby formula now going to social media and, you know, giving it to people that can use it. Putting it in certain contexts and sending it and shipping it to other places where they could use it. Same way that they do breast milk banks, where people that have an excess of breast milk, they donate that milk to charities and certain places where others can use the excess so it doesn't get wasted. So this is where we're at, folks. This is one of the reasons why the pandemic, among other things, have really hurt so many facets of the United States.
Yes, and from that problem to another problem, and I will get to Brother B in a minute, but I know Sean Black has a lot to say about this topic. Once again, within 7 years, we have these recycling topics that we talk about over and over and over, with a little bit of grain of salt, or maybe a little bit of pepper, or maybe cayenne pepper or something. As always, Sean Black has been dimming the news on another mass shooting. Well, there was a couple of mass shootings over the weekend. It was like a mass shooting holiday or something like that, not joking around. But the most famous one was the one that happened in New York, in Buffalo, where 10 people got killed, 13 injured altogether. And, of course, it was racially motivated. While this killer, I don't know his name, I refuse to know these killers' names, but it was a young white kid, 18 years old, that got onto the supermarket in Buffalo, targeted black people, and shot them because of their race. Before, Sean, you get to it, along with Brother B, I'm not going to say too much, really, but I just have to say this before we get started. Gentlemen, I remember, I know times change, people change, and everything. But I remember at 18 years old, back in high school, I was chasing after girls, you know. And I'm sure most of us were. I think we were living our life as teenagers, whether we had good times or bad times. At 18 years old, we were just living our life. And when I imagine at 18 years old, I'd be staying at home, plotting for months to drive to a different state of town and go out killing people, whether because I don't like the color of the skin, or their origin, or their religion, or their sex, or whatever. Something about 18-year-old, to me, is shocking that 18-year-olds should not be thinking these type of things. Normally, an older white man, you know, who hates the world, or Muslim, or terrorist, or whatever you want to say, might think about these things. But 18 years old, you think about college for the most part, or video games, or like I said, girls or guys in general. You think about life or your future. Well, Sean Black, I take a word from your page. I digress. I have nothing more to say. I'm burnt out. Take it away, then, to you, brother.
Okay. Well, this is, as we talked off air about this same exact topic, I don't know how many times since we've been doing this show. Our first show of The Absolute Truth started March 15th of 2015. And there is a reason why I bring that data, not the fact that we've done 301 episodes that we've done. I bring it up to show you the sobering amount of mass shootings in the United States, which happens at a ridiculous clip, more so than any other nation. Now, Hot Rod and I both agree on the fact that we're both sick and tired of this particular topic, but we have to talk about the topic because it happens all the time. In this nation, we average a mass shooting once, at least one mass shooting every 2 to 3 days, and a lot of them don't get reported. Now, the Buffalo shooting that we're talking about has been all over the news, was a major shooting. But I want people to get this idea, to just to find out exactly what's been going on. We've had 312 shootings this weekend alone, 127 people dead, and 294 wounded. That's just this weekend. Now, the buzzword that we always talk about, or the name that we use, that we hear about as the euphemism for shootings and crime, is Chicago. What about Chicago? What about Chicago? 5 dead, 35 wounded in Chicago alone. Now, I'm going to reference back to what I just said before about 2015. If we're going by the 7 years that we've done this show, there has been no less than 336 mass shootings. And a mass shooting constitutes as something that happens with at least 4 people shot and killed by one person in a particular area. So 316, that happened twice. We've had 2 years where we've had over 600 mass shootings in this country. So if we take a look at 2015, the year we started doing this show, up until last year, we've had 3,123 mass shootings. And if you go by what we've done this month, or I should say this year alone, we're only 5 months into this year. That's 201. So we've had 3,324 mass shootings in the United States in the 7 years we have done this show. If that is not disturbing and sobering at the exact same time, I don't know what else to tell you. Going on the 5 that we had this weekend, and then to piggyback on what are the actual things that are the things that bind everything together, the number one narrative amongst most of these mass shootings. And almost all of them are racially motivated. And that is probably the saddest thing that I can bring up, because there's so much of a racial invective added into all of this, including what we've had over this weekend, which is absolutely sad. And it's not going to change because the politicians, both Democrat and Republican, apparently don't want anything to change. And that's partially the reason why Hot Rod and I usually look at this subject and are like, well, nothing's changed. And I'll ask that question again. Has anything changed? We talk about all of these other ones. Well, after Sandy Hook, things are going to change. Oh, after what happened in Florida just a couple years ago with that school in Parkland, things are going to change. After what happened in Aurora, Colorado, in the movie theater, things are going to change. And it doesn't. And here we are again. Hot Rod, take it away.
Okay. Now, on that note, before I give it to Brother B and K-Dog, Brother B, I know you have a lot to say. Were you shocked overall that this kid, who's 18 years old, had hatred? And are you shocked that he would be able to walk away from this?
First of all, greetings and salutations, everyone. You guys,
greetings and salutations.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, Brother B. Let me get my cup of tea ready and some popcorn, because I feel this one's going to be hot.
Yeah. Listen, without being offensive... Without being offensive,
you?
But
you?
At the same time, it's how, you know, people are going to take things how they want to take it. To go off of what Sean Black said in terms of change, why? Why would they want things to change? If they implement change, then it would eliminate their purpose. If peace was to be had, what would be the purpose for law enforcement, courts, the whole judicial system, if peace was to actually happen? So a certain level of chaos has to continue in order for the system to thrive. So with that being said,
I'm sorry, Brother B. Are you saying that there has to be a balance? This is part of the balance?
Of course. There has to be a balance. Listen, you wouldn't know good if there was no evil, and vice versa. So when you look at it, I believe this whole mass shooting thing is starting to become normalized. Like, it's like it happened, and what shock is there really? That a young, matter of fact, let's not even get in the age, a white male with an assault rifle goes and shoots up some people, but mainly he goes to an area that's predominantly black, does his recon, and goes there and kills everybody. This is what a lot of them do. This is their thing. Just like they try to say Puerto Ricans like to cut people and black people like to rape, rob, and drugs and all this other stuff. I'm sorry, but this is their thing. This is what they do. And if you want to say something against what I'm saying, look at their history of violence in this country. Just look at it. Look at their patterns. There's a pattern. So why is it a shock? And before you even try to talk about the gun violence or gun rights, gun this, gun that, what we really need to get to is the mental health issue, the mental aspect of it. Because it's not the gun. It's the people that get these guns. That's the problem. I mean, this kid was arrested, the year before, because he made a threat on his school, yet he was still allowed to go out and buy a firearm. So whose fault is that?
Because Brother Lee, not to cut you off, remember, he went to do an evaluation of his mental illness. I guess he passed the test, and he got off last year.
I check this out.
You know. And he went to Pennsylvania, I believe, to get the firearm, which is not too far from where he lives.
No, listen.
He did not get in New York. Mm-hmm.
Listen, you can be quick to contact trace somebody when it comes down to COVID, but you won't do the same with a firearm? There's no excuse at all. There's no excuse whatsoever. And you have to look at the fact that, yeah, he was taken in alive. I'm not surprised, because I knew before I even knew what the story was about, I knew what he did. He accomplished his mission, and when the police came, he surrendered. Once the threat was eliminated, which was him putting his gun down and putting his arms up to surrender, there was no purpose in taking his life. But then again, some people would say, oh, well, they'll do that to a black man, and this is that. Yeah, that's what they'll do. And we'll sit there and not really say anything or do anything about it. We keep dancing with the devil. So what do you expect? Keep getting your footstep on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it also goes to show you that at 18 years old, where in this country are the learning tools and the ideology being passed on to somebody And we can probably say
from
that because of a lot of the lockdown, it accelerates the isolation that a lot of people have, so that they have more time to go to social media and the internet and listen to a lot of the things that happen where they're not outside learning and being around other people. You get to stay home, and then you can see whatever's happening on XYZ news station, or you can go to whatever social media site, or you may get that exact same information from the environment that you are around. And if you have parents, if you have family members, if you have friends that think the same way, there's almost a sense of an indoctrination involved. And then when you also throw in the aspect of there are politicians that are in office that throw out the same racist, kind of sly racist invective of where you go with certain stereotypes of race and certain policies that go against certain races that only accelerate the issues going in. And then coupling that with the fact that we've got over 400 million guns in a country of 330 million people, and all of the other things that we've talked about ad nauseum over the years, these kinds of things are always going to happen. You're going to have the quote-unquote flare-up, or you're going to have something that now becomes a burning fire in a forest where no one has any water to put it out.
Okay, I'm going to give it to K-Dog now. K-Dog, what do you like to say about this?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
This is a damn shame.
Yeah.
From what we're learning about this horrible incident that took the lives of 11 people between the ages of 20 to 86. Could you believe that? Ages 20 to 86 were murdered by an 18-year-old white male. Now, what they're finding out about Peyton Gendron, he describes himself as a white supremacist in a hateful rant online. So the evidence is there that he put everything online, what he was feeling. Because even in the midst of the shooting, and mind you, not to forget,
Where did he put it at online? I would like to know.
On social media. Yes, he did. He put it on social media.
Was it on like Facebook or Instagram or something? Like, what was it on?
No, it was on Twitch.
It was on Twitter because he actually live streamed.
And you know what?
He actually live streamed everything.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
and
so it was just on that social platform.
Yeah.
Owned by Amazon, of course.
Hold on, K-Dog. And like I told Sean Black yesterday, Brother B, Twitch, when you stream videos, it got a lot of views. You get paid on it. Facebook, you don't get paid. But live streaming,
no.
And you get a lot of views, you get paid. So I'm not saying that he did it to get money, but imagine the message sent out that you're getting paid to live stream to kill people. Think about that message that he sent out to other people.
And that's going to bring a bad eye on the company that owns Twitch, because people don't realize Amazon owns Twitch. Just keep that in mind.
Yes, sir.
Going forward.
That's what I wanted to point out, too, because you know what? He had a rant online where he was just saying some outlandish racist stuff. Serious racist stuff. And you know, this shooter, by the way, his name is Peyton S. Gendron. He visited Buffalo in March. We're finding out. All these things are there. Okay? And Brother B, I agree with what you said. This has been the history of violence against blacks in this country, whether it's guns or lynchings. Now, mind you, Hot Rod, you've heard me say this many times before about social media, how people use it as a platform. He used it as a platform. He used it as a platform. The warning signs were there.
So my question, real quick, my question to all of you guys, who monitors this stuff? Who monitors this hate speech and stuff like that? Who monitors this?
Listen.
Oh, well, from what I heard is that
I like to say the white people. No.
From corporate America.
The problem is
from the owners. Yes. Of course, corporate America. You know, these the ones who had these social media platforms. Now, mind you, Facebook, what else? Instagram. They're putting a ban on hateful speech.
No, but Kato, I think what Brother B is aiming at, correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
is because the white people are watching these speeches. If you and I had did the same type of hate speech, we would have been banned. Brother B and I have gotten so many times for the stupidest things. Yeah.
Young Thug, there's your example right there. Young Thug, isn't he in jail for some stuff that he said in his song? So there's monitors for that, but we've known people
who have said some things. Hot Rod, Sean and I, we know some people who have been suspended numerous times on Facebook for rants. Now, mind you, as we talk about this horrible situation that you know that took the lives of ten people, you know. What I wanted to focus on and was unfortunately hearing about the victims of this horrible shooting. These people were just there just to shop. These people were in the store. They were outside the store. And, you know, you hear about a hero security guard, okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who did what he could to protect the people in there to protect the people to stop the shooting. A former cop. Yeah, he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
He was killed.
There was one officer who was there to investigate the scene, saw his mother mm-hmm. as one of the victims that got killed.
His mother went to the nursing home. His mother was visiting his father at a nursing home, and she went to the store to go shopping. This is horrible.
So saying this, guys, remember the video I sent you earlier, Brother B, mm-hmm. of how the killer went to the supermarket and he told the white guy, "I'm sorry."
Yeah, when he pointed the gun at him.
When he pointed the gun at the white guy, "Oh, sorry, he's like, you're not the victim. I'm not going to shoot you because you're white. On to the next person. Let me look for the color person." When I showed that video to other people, one thing you heard about it, but when we see that video of how this kid say sorry to a white guy, but it came on to kill black people. That is some crazy ish, as you would say.
No, it's not.
No, it's not crazy. This is something that's been going on for the longest because you know what? He came in there on a mission. He came in there to, like I said, he came in there on a mission to kill black people. Because remember, he is a self-proclaimed white supremacist and had a racist rant. And he knew where to go, where there was more black people. So he traveled over there in that store in that area of Buffalo, New York, to commit the crime.
It's only crazy when you don't think that way.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
This is becoming the narrative. Yeah, but to Sean Black and Hot Rod, I will ask this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. How do you feel about the fact that this cat has pled not guilty to what he has done?
That part alone did not shock me because he knew he probably would get away with it or get less charge towards him anyway. Because think about this. When I thought about this case, I thought about that guy that shot, like I told Sean Black yesterday, the guy that went to a different city and started shooting at the protesters, and all of a sudden he became a hero, and he was at the rallies, and he went to
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Remember this kid?
Yeah.
Yes. I know Brother B will never forget him. This guy was a hero to many people.
Coward.
To me,
coward.
This guy right here, yes, from Saturday, is disgusting, but to some people, and to some even some cops, he's a hero.
Exactly.
I'll add to that is the fact that it falls into the archetype of the type of people that have been doing these kinds of mass shootings. And as I said before, mm-hmm. it's almost an indoctrination into the hatred and the bile of this country, where we're seeing young, very young kids being corrupted by a lot of the racist ideologies that they see on television,
yes.
through social media, through whatever personal experiences that they get. Now, obviously, we've said this before. No one is born racist. That's something that you have to be taught, something that has to be learned.
Yeah.
And as you can tell, based on what has happened in this country in the last few years, we have seen an uptick in the amount of racist incidents that's happened. We've seen people, just a number of times that we've even talked about on this show, instances of people being racially profiled.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen countless stories of these kinds of things happening. And when we start to see these things add up, and we start to look also at a lot of the part of that whole ideology, and this is something you're going to hear a lot of, which is this great replacement theory. And for those that don't know what that is, this is a theory that goes back many, many years, where white people think that they are being replaced, either through their jobs, through power structures, through elections, that they are going to be replaced in this country by minorities, that their power mm-hmm. will wane, and they are afraid that they're going to be replaced. Now, I've heard right-wing talking pundits on Fox News, like Tucker Carlson, bring this kind of bile up. And there is no teeth to the argument, but that doesn't mean that just because the argument makes no sense, it doesn't mean that people aren't going to believe in this. Because, as we said before, the racists that buy into this stuff, all they need is that small flame to ignite that C4, to blow everything up. That's all they need, a push in the right direction to get that anger going. And when that anger gets going, you get the Kyle Rittenhouses. You get the Dylan Roos. You get this guy right here and all of the other things that have been going on. Now, mind you, we haven't even talked about the other shootings that have happened, but most of these shootings that we've been hearing and we've been talking about are all racially motivated on some level, which is absolutely scary when you think.
You know, allow me to add more to this.
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Yeah, but before you start, Kato, I will give it to Max after Kato. I would like to add one more thing to Sean's note. Don't forget the rifle they use, the assault weapon. He wrote down the names of other shooters and past mass shooters.
I was about to talk about that.
So go ahead, K-Dog.
And he also had a 180-page manifesto about everything he planned on doing, was going to do, and what he planned on doing afterwards, because that wasn't going to be the first shooting he was going to do. He planned on doing another shooting later that day. So,
yeah. All of this was all planned because, you know what? Like you guys were talking about earlier, they're going to try and use that mental health. Oh, the mental, that wasn't no damn mental health. Let me tell you something. When you have that much hatred towards a race of people, when you have that kind of mentality, that hatred, it's nothing to do with mental health. And like you said before, nobody's born a racist.
Wait,
racism is something that's taught.
Not
racism is something that's taught, and of course,
is it really hatred? That's the question you got to ask yourself.
That's
it may be hatred. It may be hatred to us, but to them, that's not hatred.
To them,
that's
it's
normal.
Perfectly normal.
Okay. Well,
it's normal because it's been normal for them. It's been normal for many years. It's been normal for centuries.
So to Matt, is this really hatred? Is hatred part of mental illness or is it a disease? Go ahead, Max.
It's not a disease. It's just basically, it's a habit. It's more fear.
Exactly.
It's fear. Mm-hmm. It's that they know this young man in his young age already know that he's outnumbered. And so his mindset is, his solution is to decrease that number because that number is growing. So he's going to knock out as much as he can so he can try to get his party over the hedge. He's like, let me take this number of people out because they are growing. That's what it is. It's a race. It's a race. Racism is a race, period. We outnumber a lot of people based on genetics and dominance of genes. Are we putting it to use? No, we're not putting it to use. We're not putting it to use. Malcolm X has said this year, so did Marcus Garvey. We're not putting it to use. Other people from different races, they're putting it to use. But we outnumber every one of these people by popularity. But yet, we barely can hold a seat, a position of power.
So Max, why are we going through this again over and over? Like Sean said, there have been other mass shootings around the country. Like there was an Asian guy that shot up a church, I believe. But we talk about this one the most. We forgot about the other mass shootings. Why is that?
Well, who controls the media? We don't control the media.
Of course. It's no stranger. There's no question.
Exactly. We don't control the media, bro. If we did, this would have been settled. How many guys is in this show right now, episode? There's five of you guys? Five or four right now?
Five.
I didn't recognize you. So out of the four or five of you guys, there's no females, just all five black men on this show right now, right?
Yes.
So as you guys think about this news right now, you didn't notice in that picture, that gun, it did say, this is your reparations. He had his reparations written on that gun.
Yes.
And the thought, he had it. It's right there. It's basically, he knows with majority of us talking about, the more we're talking about it, somebody within the group is making plans to move into, like, we got to settle this reparations, regardless. It may not benefit my family because we're not first blacks to be in this country. But it's going to better the race, regardless, and I'm for it. I want this to move forward because it will better the race, regardless.
And Max, I want to throw one thing that a lot of people aren't, you know, as Hot Rod talked about, we're not talking about the other mass shootings because there were five over the weekend. The one thing that has been knocked out of the main spectrum of news that we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks has been the abortion argument. If you notice, we're not talking as much, as fervently as we were, say, a couple of weeks ago about the abortion.
Amen. He's right.
And the reason why that is because now this is up front and in the face of everybody. And as we know about the media, especially mainstream media, is that violence always sells, sex always sells.
And going into what
they want to show you, this is going to be all over the news. Okay. Yet, there's not going to be anything done. And here's the reason why I say that. We all have, for the last few months, have been wondering what President Biden is going to be doing about a lot of things, inflation, gas prices, et cetera. We now have been asking, what is he going to do about the gun problem, which we talked about on this show before? And Biden, as these shootings went through, has been trying to pass a violent crime plan. I talked about this with Hot Rod off the air. It'll be $10 billion for police and public safety, $1 billion for first responders to train new first responders, and $450 million for new cars, radios, body cameras, gunshot detection, that kind of stuff. So that's literally, you add all of that up, that's $11.4 billion. That's just for that. The last time I checked, the Biden administration, along with a bipartisan push, had been giving billions and billions of dollars for the fight for Ukraine, which we know Ukraine does need the help as long as the United States isn't putting feet on the ground in Ukraine. But the point that I'm bringing, the reason why I'm bringing this up is germane to this argument, is the fact that Biden and the United States government can find money for a lot of things.
One of the things that they will always come to terms on is either keeping the economy afloat when we're about to get to a deadline where you got to pay the country's bills and debt, and they will always come to some sort of agreement on some kind of war or war-like byproduct. But when it comes to things that need to be done within the country, within the landscape, we talk about every week what's going on in Flint, Michigan, what's going on with veterans and the homeless, what's going on with hunger in this country, those kinds of things. And now we also have the abortion issue, which was not talked about up until we heard about the Roe v. Wade decision potential. And these are the small things that are being pulled apart, and yet the more things change, the more they stay the same. And we're right back to the status quo argument we've been talking about all the time.
Hold on. I have another caller. He's been waiting for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Milton X. Milton X, we have 9 minutes left. Take it away.
Good evening.
First time, long time?
First, listen. Unfortunately, it is what it is. Like, the chickens have come home to roost. I mean, I've said this before. I've said this, like, you know, over 5-6 years ago. We're at war, you know. This country's won by white supremacy. Everything ties into it. Even the abortion issue ties into white supremacy because the white numbers are dying off. And if you check out this Savage's manifesto, he said as much. That's why he's trying to kill as many black people as he could. And, of course, the white supremacists, they're cowards, so they go off to the elderly, women, and children, and things of that nature. But none of this is new. America was built like this. America was built on the terrorism of black people that were already here and then getting more black people over from Africa. You know what I'm saying? Racism in America is apple pie. You know what I'm saying? So the only thing now is everything is filmed and you have now the more overt racists or rising up a little, or being more blatant with it now. But, you know, the covert says that this is bad anyway. And as black people, we got to, you know, learn about this and pay attention. I don't rant like I used to because I'm more calm on that. But the thing, so I said back then, still are rumbling now. They're trying to kill us off. And unless we realize this, we're going to fall right into their traps. You know what I mean? And as tragic as it is, if yesterday's events are, no surprise there. Listen, that Savage, I won't call him a man because none of his actions were manly, had it all laid out and told you what it was. Now, my question is, remember a few months ago when the Asians will be victimized by little petty crimes here and there, and there's an anti-Asian hate bill like that. I want to know where is the anti-black hate bill at?
Ain't no anti-black bill.
That's what I want to know.
Let me tell you something. I'm glad I got to say something. Excuse me for cutting in. Excuse me for cutting in.
Go ahead, Kato.
That ain't never going to be. That's never going to happen, man. That ain't never going to happen. This is the United States of America.
K-Dog, you're absolutely right. Yet,
it ain't never
going to
happen, bro.
But here's the thing. Black people will go out here and blindly vote for the Democrats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Biden up in the power. Finally put Harris up in the power. Put Obama up in power, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when we need them to do something for us, it can't happen.
Listen. You know
what?
We need to do my thing.
Can I say something, please?
Let me say something first.
Go ahead.
Here's what it is.
Okay.
When it comes down to it,
mm-hmm.
we got to look out for our own selves.
Right.
Stop asking people to do things for us and do things for ourselves. This is something that I believe in. Because, you know, didn't Marcus Garvey say that? Didn't Malcolm X say that? Do for yourself.
I have a question.
Stop asking.
I have a question. So when doing for ourselves, right, how come we do for ourselves then? Take care of ourselves. What are we voting for then?
Listen, we're sitting there begging people.
What's the point of voting then? Why do we put them up in there for if they ain't going to do nothing for us? When it comes down to it,
answer that question.
The agents,
We need to stop agonizing.
Hold on. Let Sean finish off. I need to go to the next topic.
As many people look at the election process as what people like to look at as not being where it should be optimally, it's probably one of the few bastions that actually work when done the right way. And I've often said this before, it has to be a grassroots local movement to get the right people elected. You also need to have education as to what the people that are running on, because the majority of people that go to the polls, one, they have no idea who's running or what their platform is. So that's part of it. Second of all, the other thing that is against elections, as we've seen this, is the rampant amount of gerrymandering and redistricting that has been going on for ages and ages and ages. And as you know, if you are in a rural community and you have to drive 10 miles to the local polling booth, you're probably more apt not to vote. And then the other thing that we're starting to see is a lot of voter intimidation, where we're hearing hate groups going to local areas that are African American or that are of minority majority, and are trying to intimidate those that are voting to get them to change their votes, to get other people that are already in power or that are trying to gain power by getting voted in, by trying to intimidate them away from doing it. Once those get alleviated, certain things will happen, and it's definitely not going to be an overnight solution, but these are the things that have to happen, and that's part of the reason why when people say elections don't work, they do work. Because look at what happened today.
Quick question. What election has worked for black people?
I mean, in general, the job that they do. And the reason why I say that is look at the people that have been voted in and look at what those people are doing. And that proves that the elections are working for who is voting.
Now, actually, the thing. Black people have voted years and decades, and no one wants more than black people, statistically.
Correct.
But yet, we still at the bottom.
That is true.
So what has this done? See, this is the thing. Whether it's Democrat or Republican, let's be honest, they're on the same side. One plays good cop, the other plays bad cop. One plays the wolf, the other plays the fox. So it doesn't matter if it's gerrymandering or this or that, because neither one does anything specific for black people. And that's the problem.
Remember, what they're saying really is that we treat them first. We treat these people first, and they treat us last.
Exactly. And that has to change.
We have to make the politicians earn
our vote.
But in the end, Tenex and Max and everybody else, whose fault is that? Is really our fault more than theirs. We keep giving it to them.
Let's be honest here. Integration is the reason why this thing's going on. Because we continually, instead of fighting for our own rights, keep on trying to fight for the approval of other races. That's put us at the bottom.
All right. All right, guys. With 10 minutes left, this is a just... This is a no judgment question. This is just what you guys' opinion on this. I'm going to start with Brother B first. Radio DJ Envy from Power 105 and his lovely wife have been married for like 21 years or so and have like 6 kids together. And they have a book about the relationship and marriage and all that good stuff. Gentlemen, once again, no judgment. I would like to know your opinion on this. She stated that she faked her orgasm for the last 20 years they've been together having sex. Now, Brother B, are you comfortable with a woman faking her orgasm to make to boost up your ego, or do you want her, you prefer that she tell you the truth that it wasn't all that, thinking that you did your job? No judgment.
First of all, why are they putting their business out in the street?
To make money. Come
right.
on, let's be honest.
So if that's the case, then listen. I don't even know.
You sound perplexed
because I really don't.
You sound perplexed
because my whole thing is if I know a woman is faking, then what's the purpose of us being together? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you here for then? If you have to fake it, that means either I'm playing for another team and what we got going on is fake, or you got some side dude and I'm okay in it, and you know everything is all right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really? Who could be okay with that? But now you're not pleasing your woman. If she don't get it from you, she's going to get it someplace else. So she, yeah.
Exactly.
Basically. Yeah, that whole thing right there. Yeah.
Is shaky?
You asking me?
Go ahead, Mac. Yeah.
Oh,
ahead.
No, hell no.
You're
better
okay
your with the office.
Makes...
No. My business should not be out there.
You prefer that she tell you the truth? That it wasn't good?
I was raised by my pops to say your bedroom is your office and your business. Nobody, not even the family, not even your friends, supposed to know what's your bedroom's business. That's between me
exactly.
and my wife. Period.
Yeah.
That's bad for your kids.
It's
bad for your kids to even know they were thirsty like that to put it out there.
And Max, please, tell, isn't that what's wrong with society now?
Yeah.
Everybody inside is always
People are living in the village. If you ask me, people are living in the village of stupid. Because, listen, putting that business out there.
Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
But
I'm sorry.
And you know what? What goes on in the bedroom between you and your woman ain't nobody's business. That's nobody's business. If you're going to sit there and talk about it and be graphic about it and talking, like, you know what it is? I call it, like, back in the days in high school when you kissed a girl and you told your friends, yo, man, I didn't kiss this girl and stuff. Come on. We're grown-ups now. The childish games
are
done and over with.
When you told us, I'm sorry, Kato, when you told us you kissed a girl, there's a reason why you told you kissed a girl to get your props. You're like, yeah, my boy.
Yeah, that
you
was it. But now those days are done. Now you're grown, man. Why are you still playing those childish? Come on, man. Come on, son. Ed used to say, yo, come on, son.
Let me throw the quick one before anything, because Brother B was about to say something, and I know Brother B may agree or not, but my dad raised me, if I see my own brother's wife with another man, keep walking and don't even see, but pretend you never saw it. I was raised by that. That's how deep my pop raised me. Don't share this with nobody. Keep walking. Don't let them see you. You didn't see nothing because you don't know what goes on their bedroom business. That's how I was raised. Even if I see one of my dearest friend's wife with another man, I'm going to keep on walking, not even tell my dearest man. No way. I shut my mouth.
So you never know their arrangement.
You don't know their arrangement.
Well,
you don't know their arrangement. That's right.
You don't know their business.
That's right.
You don't know their business.
Exactly.
Okay.
So whatever.
Just mind your own damn business.
That's it.
Okay, Milton Ox?
Well, the question was about the DJ Envy and his wife's situation. Now, as far as the wife's concerned, if she's faking orgasms here and help his ego, that's hurting her. Anything else. She ain't getting no pleasure out of that. So she's playing herself with that. And if she can't tell her man what satisfies her, then that's one of the bigger issues, is the lack of communication there. Now, as far as what these guys are saying about things shouldn't be out in the streets, et cetera, et cetera, this is 2022. Everything is out in the street. I ain't saying it should be that way, but that's how the world works now. You know what I'm saying? So things will be out there. Listen, the world is twisted. You know what I'm saying? Shit, there's like 15 different genders out here now. Don't make no damn sense. The whole world don't make any sense. So this is just part of it. You know what I mean?
Real quick, being that she said that, so how many other women are now going to think it's okay to do that?
We live in
a day and time where everybody's so impressionable, and all you have to do is say something, and then everybody just goes.
But Brother B, that's the problem. If she's going around faking it, right? I guarantee you, she telling her other girlfriends, "Oh, so and so is no good in bed." So why are you saying you telling your business to your girlfriend instead of telling your man at that time that you're not being satisfied?
But maybe he knows. Maybe he knows and he don't care. Maybe they have an arrangement.
Well, or maybe they could be faking the story to sell the book. Who knows overall? But Sean
exactly.
Black, last word.
Yeah, as Sean I'm Black, bringing word. Up that whole point. If we're under the assumption that he didn't know based on the fact that the book was written, The main problem is our society is a kiss-and-tell society. We're all into the world of Madonna and making the book sex and then telling everybody secrets and then putting it up on Instagram or whatever and then making TV shows out of it and movies out of it. So this is the society we live in. The problem is if you're in a relationship or you're with somebody, and you can't give that other person that courtesy of letting them know you're not being pleasured, this doesn't work, let's try something different, what should I do to make you happy, as somebody else alluded to, you're robbing yourself out of being pleasured. And then to then hold that over someone's head like the sword of Damocles at a future dime and say, well, you weren't doing anything for me, but how am I supposed to know if you've been lying to me about how I am not doing anything for you? And you're doing the same thing over and over and nothing is happening, which is the true definition of insanity. You know, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. How is anybody going to help in this relationship? And this has been 21 years, you said?
Mm-hmm.
That obviously,
yeah,
I would
over
hope.
20 years.
I would hope that he had already known prior to this book being done, because if she did this I'm pretty sure, like I said, if this was something that was sprung like right out of nowhere and then the book goes to publish and he's reading it for the first time and hearing this stuff, and it's like, wow. So I'm pretty sure they all collaborated on this prior.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If a woman told me that, you know what, I'm not pleasing her or something like that, me and my big mouth, I'm like, yes. Your hole's too big. That's why I can't feed you. I need to use an arm or something else. You know. But besides that.
No, man.
You know, I'll tell it like it is, you know, because like Sean always said that communication is always the key.
That's it.
No, Sean always said communication is always the key. But sometimes these couples today, they don't communicate that way. You know.
Nope.
They
communicate through social media.
To their partners. Exactly. They might go tell social media before they tell their partner the situation about their bed life.
We live in a society where a married couple won't talk to each other. They'll communicate to each other sitting next to each other by texting each other or emailing each other.
Yes, they will.
Or doing something on social media without opening their mouths.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that
damn shame.
That's the way the world works.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
Welcome
but
to
guys,
the new world.
Thank you so much for a great show tonight. Thank you all. Be safe. Take care. And don't forget to please your partners, okay? I cannot say girls because I don't know which way your guys swing now these days. You know, so whether it's a male or female,
oh,
it's
man.
Your choice, okay?
Listen.
Thank you so much.
And would the pleasure be all yours?
Oh. We don't
the
know.
The pleasure will be all yours.
I wish,
peace out,
I wish it was all mine.
No.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody.